Let's begin with a medrash in Sefer Dvarim in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Kishenigalu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, lo nigalu elo mitoch hamisha dvarim elu. So the Medrash relates the Geula to five different, shall we say, catalysts. One is Mitoch Tzara, the other is Mitoch Tshuva, number three is Mitoch Schus Avos, number four is Mitoch Rachamim, and finally Mitoch HaKetz. If we were to take these five categories and divide them up, I think we could say that probably only one of them, one out of the five, is really something that we deserve. And that's tshuva. The others are in sense brought upon us. Certainly tzara is brought upon us. Schus avos. We're just born into it. Rachamim, we don't deserve. And Kates, for example, is just the destiny of the Jewish nation. Each one of these five categories is derived from another pasuk. Number one, Mitoch Tzara Dechsiv Vayi'anchu Bnei Yisrael. And the people of Israel were crushed by the suffering. Tshuva, Dechsiv Atal Shav Asam, not exactly clear how that pasuk indicates tshuva. Shav Asam is usually identified as prayer. Schus Avos, Dechsiv Ayizkar Elokim Es Briso, that's quite clear. Mitoch Rachamim, Vayar Elokim Es Bnei Yisrael, not clear why that's called Rachamim. So we have these five categories, and we have five psukim to derive them. Now this medrash has a very important message for us, because the medrash continues and says, V'af li'asid lavo, referring to the end of time, the ultimate redemption, ein nigolim ele mitol chamisha dvar malol, and another five psukim, mitoch tzara, Dechsiv batzar lecha umitzaucha, v'shavta Hashem Elokecha is tshuva, kikel rachum Hashem Elokecha is rachamim, v'lo yishkach es bris avosecha is bris avos, and finally umitzaucha kol advarim ha'ela bi'achris hayomim is a reference to the Kates. The Medrash closes with a Pasuk in Tehillim, and if we have time, we'll go through the Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk in Tehillim is also broken up into five different parts. The first question we want to ask is, what does the word Mitoch mean? Kshenigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim lo nigalu el Mitoch chamisha dvarim. The word mitoch lends itself to two interpretations. Mitoch could be from amidst, what we call mikerev. For example, vayakum mitoch ha'eda. Or the word mitoch could be a cause, bishvil, besibas. Like the Gemara says, mitoch shehutra l'tzarech, hutra shelo l'tzarech. So mitoch means it causes it. Now, in four out of the five cases, it would seem that the word mitoch means the cause. Tshuva, schus avos, rachamim, achris hayomim kates, these seem to be the causes that will bring about geula. But the first category, which is called tzara, here, mitoch tzara doesn't sound like as a cause as much as it sounds like mikerev. Amidst our tzara, and sometimes when things look so bleak, that's when the geula is going to come about. Now, leaving that question on the side, we could ask the following. If tshuva is one of the five, then we would think there's no need for any of the others. Why would there be a need for tzara, for rachamim, even for kates from that perspective? Because if tshuva is enough to bring about the geula, then it alone should bring about the geula. Unless the Medrash means that they're one of five possibilities, and any one of them, in and of itself, would bring about the geula. Tshuva could bring about the geula, but the geula could be a result of tzara, of schus avos, of rachamim, and kates. But that interpretation seems very weak, because the fact that the Medrash quotes five different psukim, it wouldn't make sense that one of them would be correct, we don't know which of the five, and the others would not be correct. Each one of these five psukim testifies as to one power or one agent that will bring about the geula. So it seems that we need five. And as a result of an integration of these five causes, there will be a geula, there will be a redemption. And there was a redemption at the time Mitzrayim. But you wonder why, in the future redemption, tshuva itself should not be sufficient. The psukim are also a little bit problematic. For example, when it says mitoch haketz, it says vayeda elokim. That's the pasuk that he quotes here, vayeda elokim. What does that have to do with ketz? Now, we're going to put this all on the side for a moment, and hopefully we'll be able to come back to it. But first, we want to read a parsha in Lech Lecha, the famous parasha, the Bris Bein HaBesorim, and raise a number of questions on that parasha. Achar HaDvar Ma'ele Hoyedvar Hashem El Avram V'machazel Emar Al Tira Avram Anochi Magen Lecha Scharcha Harbe Miod Vayotzei Oso Achutza Vayomer Abetno Hashamayma V'saper Kochavim Im Tuchal Esparosam Vayomer Koyez Aracha ואמין בהשם ויחשבה לו לצדקה. ויאמר אליו, אני השם אשר הוצאתיך מאור כסדין, לשאת לך את הארץ הזאת לרשתה. ויאמר השם אלוקים במה, ויאמר, and Avram responded, השם אלוקים, במה אדע כי אירשנה? How will I know that I will inherit the land? ויאמר אליו, חנלי עגלה משולשת, איל משולש, Sar v'gozel, v'yikach lo es kol eila v'yvasero sam mitoch, b'toch v'yitein, b'toch, v'yitein ish b'saro, l'krosso, l'kras reyehu, v'yasatzipo lo bosar, v'yered ha'ayit ala pegorim, v'yom ha'shem al avram, yodo ateda, ki ger yez aracha b'yeretz lo lohem, v'yavadum, v'inu osam, arba me'ol shana, and this parsha of the Bris Bein HaBesorim forms perhaps the backbone of our Haggadah Shel Pesach as the introduction to Maskil Bignus U'Mesayim B'Shvach. And we have to ask a number of questions here. First of all, Avram Avinu was a great Baal Amunah. And in fact, at the beginning of this parasha, it says that after God promises, Ko Yazaracha, go see if you can count the stars. And the Pasuk says that Avram had this Amunah. Vahamena Bashem, Vahashavelo Litztaka. And yet, just two or three psukim later, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem Asher Tzeisicha Meir Kazdin, and then it says Vayomer Bameh Eida Ki Arshena. Why the reverse? Why the reversal now? All of a sudden, Avram Avinu, the great Baal HaMunah, is not suffused with faith. Hashem responds, Kachna Egla Mishuleshes. How does that answer Avram's question? Bameh Eida. How does the clincher for the Kiyum Avtocha come through the Egla Mishuleshes? And then Bichlal, we don't understand What is this vision of the Egla and the Isle and the Gozel? What is it all about? And then Hashem has to reveal to Avram Avinu that there's going to be a nation that's going to subjugate your people, your descendants. And we're not sure exactly why Hashem feels compelled to reveal this to Avram Avinu. It would seem like pretty depressing news to find out that your children and your descendants are going to be slaves for such a long period of time. And then as if to Nechama, as if a consolation for Avram Avinu, Gamis Hagoyasha Yavodu Don Anochi. Does that mean that God's going to take revenge against the people who subjugate Israel? And is that really a consolation? Is that a Nechama for Avram Avinu? And finally, V'achrei chen yetzu v'rchush gadol. What's that all about? Is God giving consolation to Avram Avinu that after 400 years of slavery, their children will go out with some money? Doesn't seem appropriate for Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is a person who's not interested in material wealth. He tells the king of Sdom and Michut Mead Sofnal, he rejects all that rechush gadol. So what's this rechush gadol here? And then Vavadum V'inu Osam, the language here is a little bit difficult. Alpi Digduk, it should have either said V'inum V'avadum, that would make sense. Or it should have said V'avadum V'inu Osam, that would be sensible. What's V'avadum V'inu? The language doesn't make any sense. And then Donanochi sounds like it's in the future tense. Is this a reference to Mitzrayim? Is it a reference to the other kingships? Not clear. The Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah, says we should read it like this: Ki ger yezarecha bi eretz lo lahem v'arba eretz lo lahem arba mil shana. So we should put the Arba Mil Shana from the end of the Pasuk to the beginning of the Pasuk. And then it should say V'avadum V'inu Osam. But the real question that we want to ask is, what is God trying to convey to Avram Avinu about the future exile of his children? Why should the Tzaddik Avram have to hear this terrible news? What is God's purpose? What's his agenda here? There's another statement in the Medrash that really calls to our attention. Vayomer li Avram yodo ateda ki ger yezarecha. And the Medrash is bothered by this double language. Yodo ateda. Yodo, you should know, shani mefazram, that I'm going to spread them out in the Golos. Teda, shani mechansam, you should know that I'll bring them back together. I'll gather them together. Again, another drasha. Yodoa shani memashkenon, that they're going to be taken as a mashkon. Teda shani parkon, but I will redeem that mashkon, that collateral. A third. Yodoa shani meshavdom, they'll be subjugated. But teda shani golom, they'll be redeemed. How are these three-tiered drashos derived from the same pasuk? Yodoa teda, where is it indicated in the pasuk? And what exactly is this medrash coming to convey? In order to analyze these questions, we're going to start with the most fundamental question about reward and punishment, especially about punishment. In this case, we're dealing with Golus, with the exile. And we want to know what's the purpose of punishment in general and exile in particular. And the Dvar Avram, Rabbi Avram Kana Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was in the Warsaw Ghetto during the war, he saw tragedy in front of his eyes, people dying like flies in the streets. He says there are two ways of understanding punishment and Golus. One is it's a punishment. That itself is, shall we say, an end unto itself. A criminal has to be punished. The other way of understanding it is in a broader context of Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. That the purpose of punishment, of galus, is like a compassionate father who punishes his son, not for the sake of punishment as an end unto itself, but rather for the purpose of bringing him to do tshuva, bringing him to straighten his ways, to improve his ways. Chazal say in the Gemara Brachos, Golus mechaperes avon. Golus is meant to atone for a sin. Is that it? In Golus Mitzrayim, for example, we don't even know exactly what the sin that brought about Golus was. Klal Yisrael had not yet received the Torah. They had only received the 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Are they responsible for violating these 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach? In the case of the Dor HaMabul, we find that they were guilty of many, many of these sins. And these were cardinal sins that were given to b'nei Noach. We find, for example, the Gemara in Shabbos that says that Biavon Shvichas Domin Beis Hamikdash Nechrav Biavon Gil Arayas Avod Zora Vashmota Ashmita V'Yovlin Golus Bali Olam. Now, we're wondering if those sins are applicable to non-Jews. Well, certainly Shvichas Domin is one of the 7. Gili Arayas as well. Avodas Kaschovim. What about Shmita V'Yovel? Is that a category that's applicable to a Ben Noach? And the answer is that there's something called Dinim. That's one of the 7 mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Dinim, according to Rav Sadja Gaon, is a general category that includes all of the righteous laws of monetary law. And Ben Noach is included in those laws as well. We find with regard to the Dor HaMabul that Lo Nigzar Dinam Ela Al Gezel, and Gezel should be understood in a broader context as referring to the laws of how to treat one's Eved, how to purchase Karka, and all the Kinyonim. Those laws have to be legislated. And if a person, for example, will acquire ownership, a non-Jew, over a field, and if he doesn't get that field, in other words, if the seller doesn't, fork over the field to him, then that would be a violation of Gezel. So in the case of Yovel, for example, the Torah says you sell a piece of land, and the sale is valid for 49 years, in the 50th year of Yovel, the person who sold you the field has rights to buy back the field. Does that apply to a Ben Noach as well? And if he doesn't allow the person who sold him the field to buy back the field, that itself is a violation of Gezel. The Gemara in Yoma is very famous. The difference between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second is in the case of the destruction of the first Mikdash, they were guilty of the 3 cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Domim. And Chazal tell us that the Knanim, the 7 nations that occupied Palestine at the time, were sent into Golus because of their repulsive abominations. Ki esko atoeva sa'ela osu anshe ha'aretz ha'shelef nechem vatitame ha'aretz. And the Torah admonishes us, the Jewish people, that if we're going to inherit the land, we have to be absolutely sure that we don't repeat the same abominations and the same sins that those nations were guilty of, otherwise the land will vomit us forth. In the case of the 7 nations, it seems almost clear that they were punished, they were exiled from the land, as a matter of onesh, as a matter of punishment. But in the case of Klal Yisrael, are we going to be sent into exile, into Golos, as a matter of punishment? If that be the case, then the fathers who are guilty of crimes, nicha, that I can understand. But what about the next generation, the children? Why do they have to suffer in Golos? The pasuk says, lo yumsu avos al banim, ubanim lo yumsu al avosam. It's not fair, it's not righteous to mete out punishment against the children for the sins and the iniquities of the father. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayoshev Moshe Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, Loma Yiriosa, Loma Zeh. Moshe Rabbeinu sent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do the people have to suffer so much in Mitzrayim? And Chazal say, in Shir Shirim Rabba, it says, Natalti, Sefer Breishis V'Karasi Bovra Isi Maseim Shal Dor Mabul V'Echni Donu Midas Hadin Oysa Maisa Dor Afloga V'Shal Stomiim Nidoni U'Midas Hadin Oysa Ha'om Azeh Ma'osu Shenesh Tavdu B'Chol Doros Shavru. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his question to God, he says, I understand the other generations of non-Jews, whether it's the Dor HaMabul, whether it's the Dor HaFloga, the Dor of Sodom, they were destroyed. That was Midas HaDin. But why the Jewish people should be subject to Shibud for all these generations? And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says, V'im b'shvil sha'omer Avram Levinu, is it a punishment for Moshe for Avram's lack of emuna because he questioned God, he asked for a sign? The Amartolo Yodoa Teda Kigeria Zaracha Imkain Hare Esav Yishmol Mibanov. If it's a punishment for Avram Avinu's lack of emuna, says Moshe Rabbeinu, what about the children of Yishmael? What about the children of Esav? They're also descendants of Avram. Why should the descendants of Yitzchak and Yaakov be singled out for Shibud because of Avram and his lack of emuna? Afilu kein hoyelo l'shabdo doro shel Yitzchak, doro shel Yaakov lo la'om azeh shehu bedori. Even if you'll grant me that for some reason the generation of Yitzchak and Yaakov should suffer, but why the generations beyond that, all through the Doros? And we can define Golos under two categories. Let's give a mashal. You have a master whose slave has rebelled against him. The master gives up hope at this point that the slave, the servant, will come and do a tikkun and rectify himself. And therefore, kasher yake ish es nefesh oivav shegmolo ra af she'eni yorei mimenu od liyosid. And what's happening here is that the eved deserves punishment. He rebelled, he sinned, he'll be punished. But then there's another relationship, not a relationship between a master and his servant, but a relationship between a father and his son. The father loves the son. Ki kasher yeser ish benoa avuv, when a person, as a loving, beloved father, punishes his son, then the father is not happy about that punishment. In a sense, he suffers together with the son. The punishment and the suffering of the son is not a matara, it's not a purpose, a goal unto itself, but rather it's an emtza'i. It is only a means to an end. And the end is hatavat arkeya ben, that the ben himself should rectify and correct his ways. So just to summarize, what we have so far are two understandings, two different categorizations of punishment. One is punishment for the sake of punishment, and the other is the case of an Av HaRachman And certainly we would think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Av HaRachamon. He loves his people. He loves his children. Why are they suffering? It must be for the purpose of tshuva, of hatovas darkom. And this is really formulated by Yechezkel HaNovi in the parak that's dedicated to Golos Mitzrayim. He says, Chei ani, Neum Hashem Elokim, im echpots b'mos ha-rosha, ki im b'shuv rosha midarko v'chaya, hachafetz echpots mos rosha, Neum Hashem Elokim, halo b'shuvo midarko v'chaya. Does God, the compassionate God, want the destruction of those who sin and rebel against Him? No. God doesn't want to destroy. Lo echpots b'mos hames, b'mos harosha. I don't want the destruction of the evildoers. Just like Bruria tells Rabbi Meir, not yitamu chotim min ha'aretz, but rather yitamu chatoim min ha'aretz. We want to get rid of sin. We want people to improve their ways. Klal Yisrael are called banim la'makom. Certainly the punishment is only for our benefit, for our good. And therefore, when the Pasuk says, in Dvarim Ches, it says, Kasha Yisar Ish Es Pino, Hashem Elkecha Miyasreka, Golus is not here to just destroy the people and break them and punish them so that they suffer, but rather, Yosher Darkenu Ulehetiv Masenu, to bring about a situation in which we will straighten ourselves out. We will do tshuva. That's the purpose of Golus. Gemara tells us, in Psachim Amrav Yoshia, Mai Dechsiv Tzidkos Pizreinu B'Yisrael. Tzdaka Osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yisrael Shepizram Lebeina Umos. In the case of the other nations, they were concentrated in one area, in one land. For example, the seven nations that occupied Canaan. As a result, God meted out punishment, and they were completely lost. We have nothing left of those nations. But in the case of Klal Yisrael, as Rav Oshia learns from Apostle, God had rachmanus, He had love and compassion, and He spread the Jewish people throughout the Umos HaOlam. We weren't all concentrated in one area. Because if so, then Chas V'Sholom, we would have been destroyed. We would have been wiped out, like the nations that occupied Israel. But here, when Klal Yisrael were guilty of sin, they were spread out throughout the world. They were never destroyed. They will always continue to exist. Osanu Asa Kodesh Baruch Hu Chesed. This in the Dvar Avram is on page 48. Hashem does a chesed. Shelo yanihinichenu al admasenu. He didn't leave us in the land. Had he left us in the land, then it would be ad tamale sosom, when our sins would have reached that peak. Then chas v'shalom would have been sof. It could have been the end. But instead, kolach hamaso b'etzim v'avonim, God meted out His anger on inanimate objects, on the Beis HaMikdash, and sent us out into Golus, Lepazrenu Vibeno Umos. And the purpose of Lepazrenu Vibeno Umos is, as the Pasuk says about Mitzrayim, it's a Kur HaBarzel. It's meant as a furnace purifies impure metals. We are placed through this, so to speak, a furnace, a kivshon of Mitzrayim, of Shibud, of Tzoros, in order to purify us, in order to straighten us out, to get rid of all those impurities. And I would like to fast forward for a moment. Again, I don't know how much you can find here. It's a very long piece, and it has to be studied in a few different, perhaps, sessions. It's not al regel achas. But what I do want to show you, I don't know if you have page 56. And again, we're back on page 48 for those who have the text. He speaks about mitoch hatzara. And we asked, how could it be that the word mitoch in the medrash that we began with could be appropriate for tzara? In what sense do we understand that tzara is the cause for geula? And the Dvar Avraham has a fascinating insight. And he writes the following. Chazal tell us that kol tzara she'ena shel yachid ena tzara. He says a tzara is something that the individual suffers. What is the relationship between individual suffering and geula and redemption? And if you recall, the Medrash had derived tzara from the pasuk batzara lecha, lecha b'loshen yachid. What kind of a tzara brings geula? And I want to read to you a few of his lines, both in the text and in his footnote. He writes, "Kol shi pogas bi uma yisraelus ki beguf echad sholem u'meuchad." What kind of a tzara of the yachid, of the individual, will bring about the geula for Klal Yisrael? And the answer is, when that tzaras hayachid somehow causes pain and suffering to the entire Jewish community, as if they were all parts of one body. Just like if one member of the body is ill and is suffering, the entire body suffers with it. Kishem shebeguf, ish shalem hanifka mechatz kol ever ve'ever, margish bekeevo. I'm not sure what he means by machatz here. He says that if one aver of the guf suffers, then the entire body as an organism suffers. I think machatz means a kind of a, like a pressure against one organ. And he says that if there's pressure, for example, in the head, then you'll feel it even in your feet. He says, kach, so too, kol tzara haba'a, any tzara that happens, and it happens to one community, or al ish echad mi Yisrael, or one individual member of Klal Yisrael, is all the Evarim of the Ummah, the entire nation, suffers with that individual. Kol yachid v'yachid mibnei ha'am ki ilu necheves kitzara shel kulam shel kol yachid v'yachid bi'atzma sheish tatvu b'chol lev, that the entire nation feels that suffering of the individual. V'hainu, and that's what Chazal mean, kol tzara shehi shel yachid is considered like a yachid of kol yachid v'yachid mi Yisrael. And that's what it means that the geula will come about mitoch tzara. And in the footnote, he brings a beautiful mashal from Etosis in Masechta Menachos. And the Gemara Menachos has a suffek about Siamese twins. And the question was asked, if a mother gives birth to Siamese twins, do they both have the status of a bechor? And you would have to offer not 5 sloim for pigeon, but 10 sloim to be poured to both heads. First, the Gemara thought it was a joke. Well, what kind of question are you asking? And then the Gemara says a woman came in with a two-headed baby. Omar Shlomo. So the question, says the Gemara, originally came up at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. It's an old question. And what did Shlomo Melech do? Bishchachmaso shafach roschim al rosh echad. He poured some hot water on the head, on one head. Vitzaku shnei aroshim, and both heads let out a cry. Omar Shlomo, Shlomo Melech said, Shma mino tolda achasi. Veino nidon el kish echad. It's one being with many heads. Says the Dvar Avram, and again, in order to appreciate this, you have to see him in his historical context. I mean, the man died before the Nazis could kill him. He died of a broken heart. Ubebchina zu tibachen gam achtus ha'uma. How do we gauge whether or not the tzara of a yachid is the tzara of kol yachid v'yachid? And the answer is lies mitzo. When there's a terrible tragedy, v'shatav mayim ravim, and there is an inundation of waters, a leo that's entering into the ship of Klal Yisrael, im guf echad heim, if they're really one indivisible body, bal roshim harbe, many heads but one body, anaf echad mibein anofim harbe, it's all one part of one great tree, different branches. Even though they're prudim begufoseim, they're separated in their bodies, but dvukim yachad berucham velibam. He says they may be prudos and separate, but they're dvukos, prudos and dvukos. That's halach and tefillin shel rosh, with regard to the arba batim, the four separate batim, that they have to be dvukos. He says then we know that that's a tzara which Nebuch could bring about the geula. And when it says mitoch tshuva, it also says mitoch tzara. And he says, kula margishim kach, if they all feel the pain and the suffering of the individuals, is kachem Yisrael echad, and if one Jew dies, never kula mitztarim, the entire Jewish nation is suffering. Now, our goal would be to come back to Avraham Avinu and the Bris Vein Abasarim and try to answer the question how Avraham Avinu is notified, or why he's notified about the Shibud and the Golus of his children. What was the purpose of that notification? And again, in these long pages here, between 48 and 56... he suggests an answer to this question. And because we're limited for time, I'm going to just give it to you in a, shall we say, a short form, maybe next Wednesday, depending upon its Erev Yontav. I don't know if we can get together or not. We'll be able to study this more in depth. But what I was able to understand from the Dvar Avram is that Avraham Avinu was worried about the following. He wanted to know whether or not the people of Israel, his descendants, would inherit the land on a permanent basis. Here Hashem is coming to him at the Bris Bein Abasarim with a great happy besora, telling him, "Habetno Hashemaima, Koi Yazaracha," and in this bris, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is establishing with Avraham Avinu that his descendants would inherit the land, and Avraham Avinu raises the following question: "Bame Eida Ki Yerushena?" Says the Dvar Avram, what was bothering Avram was, how do I know that bris in which Klal Yisrael would inherit the land would be guaranteed for all future generations? Maybe, perhaps, and this was what Avram Avinu was overwhelmed by fear, perhaps the people would be vomited forth from the land chas v'shalom, in the same way that the seven nations that occupied the land were thrown out of the land and destroyed? Is there going to be some sort of a galus as a result of sin? Avraham Avinu already anticipated the possibility, as we say, Shema Yigro Machet. And there's a whole development here about why Avraham Avinu was gripped by fear that his children would not live up to the standards and the demands of Eretz Yisrael, of the land. And he wanted to know, would that galus be a galus as a punishment meted out to a criminal? And as Avraham gives a mashal, there's a king and some of his citizens rebel against him. He appoints a sar who's in charge of punishment to mete out punishment against those rebellious citizens. And the king is not interested in hearing about those punishments. He takes it out of his mind. It doesn't concern him. These are people who rebelled and they deserve punishment. But if the son, the prince himself, rebels against the king, and once again the king appoints someone in charge of the punishment, here the king wants to know what's going on. He's constantly aware. He wants to know if the punishment is working, if it's achieving its goal, if his son is realizing that he wronged and he's doing right, he wants to rectify his ways. The king is always involved. He's always emotionally identified with the punishment that's being meted out to his child. And here Avraham Avinu wants to know that if this galus is going to be pure punishment, like the case of a criminal who rebelled against the king and Hashem is not interested, just mete out the punishment. Or no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still retain that relationship of a father to a son, even when the son has to be punished. And he's constantly aware of the fact, putting his finger on the pulse, so to speak, to see if that galus is achieving its ultimate goal, to bring about a tikkun, to bring about tshuva. And all these five elements of geula are all indicated to Avraham Avinu that just like Yodoa, there's also Teda. Each one of these facets of Golus is a stepping stone to bring about the ultimate Geula. That the promise of the land to Klal Yisrael Bame'eda Kirasheno is that even though Klal Yisrael are going to suffer the Egel Meshuleshes and all these different symbolic acts, which we can go through, Bli Neder, another time, but it's all at the end going to bring Klal Yisrael back. And the purpose of Golus is V'achakech Yetzu B'Rechush Gadol. We're going to prove that Rechush Gadol is not a physical amassing of material possessions and wealth, but rather it's Rechush Gadol, it's a spiritual Rechush Gadol. And somehow, we don't always understand how this works, but the long, painful process of Golus is going to bring about a purification and uplifting of Klal Yisrael, like the Kura Barzel of Mitzrayim. And Achukach Yetzu Berchush Gadol, the promise of the land, the Bris, and the Schus Avos is eternal. And even if we are sent into Golus, Avraham Avinu, please understand, as a beloved father, that this is all God working on behalf of your people, of your descendants, out of compassion and for their well-being. And it occurs to me, and I would ask at this moment that you could please have in mind Tvaruchana Basratza. She's going through a horrible, horrible time. with this disease. There's so many cholim. I was told that New York City, for example, is a disaster area. California, other parts of the country, in the United States, I don't know, in Canada, I'm not sure what's happening. Here in Israel, we're fighting this. I myself, I'm in quarantine for a good couple of weeks already. But the prayers that we need for these cholim, if only we could suffer with them, mitoch tzara, and obviously mitoch tshuva, you've all heard the many cries and calls for tshuva. We ask Hashem to remember this chus avos, because chus avos means the compassion of a father for a son. And that's the compassion that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our Av. And somehow, to understand that this is mitoch rachamim, this is the most challenging experience, to understand and appreciate that what we're going through is mitoch rachamim. We're about to enter into Chag HaPesach. We've already entered into the month of Nisan, a month of Simcha. The poskim are asking, are we allowed to say Avinu Malkeinu during this month, and so forth and so on. Very difficult challenge. The Aderes, who was one of the greats here in Yerushalayim 100 years ago plus, he lost a young daughter, and when it was time for the funeral, no one could find him. He was locked up in his room. He came out 2 hours later and they cut kriya. And one of his talmidim, I don't know who had the chutzpah, but asked him, why? Where were you for the last 2 hours? And he said that he was working on himself to try to get himself to say, to recite the bracha, Baruch Dayanu Emes, Besimcha, because Chazal say that Kishem Shem Mevarchim Al Atova, Kach Mevarchim Al Ra'a. How does a Jew reach that level? I have no clue. I have no answer. I just have a lot of questions. Not too many answers. What is the step-by-step process by which a Jew could come to Simcha at these times? In my immediate family, counting me and my wife, 5 different people in the immediate family, I emphasize that, have come down with this disease. 3 out of the 5 are in the hospital on oxygen. And during these times, we have to be mekayim the mitzvah of Simcha. And my only answer, it's not an answer, is to study Chazal and to see over and over again that these bitter times of Golos, these bitter times of Tzara, are somehow integrated into a framework of Avinu Avarachamon for our benefit. Otherwise, why did Hashem bother revealing to Avram Avinu about this terrible situation that's going to, you know, this terrible magefa that's going to hit his children with the Golos of Mitzrayim, which is described here in Bris Bein HaBesorim, in very stark terms. Vavadu v'inu osam. It's not just golus, it's inui, it's affliction, it's avdus, it's slavery, and we know what Mitzrayim was all about. It was no picnic, and that's an understatement. But this was all revealed to Avram Avinu so that he understand kirachem of albonim, that this is not punishment simply for the sake of punishment. It's not a criminal that's being punished and the king doesn't care, but rather it's v'acher ches yesu b'chush gadol. Yiratza maybe v'zolche emirza Hashem, to begin to understand what we're going through, what Klal Yisrael is going through, the whole world is going through, and somehow it's v'acher kach yesu b'chush gadol. We should be zolche to see the geula mitoch hamishadvarim.